Hey, this is Pearls and Swine. I'm Levi. Across from me is Chapped Lip Travis.
They're better now after last week.
All right. So we today are going to be talking about another Old Testament oldie but goodie. It's the brown snake on the pole. What's going on in the situation is that Israel has been wandering around. Remember, they didn't trust God, didn't trust his promises. They had escaped Egypt. They were out there. They escaped bondage for 400 years of being enslaved by the Egyptians. They went to the promised land, looked at it, went, we're not going to do that. We don't think God can help us in this one. And so they have to wander around the wilderness for 40 years. And so this takes place, just to kind of give a frame of reference, about the 39th year. And so they're still working on this whole idea of trusting God. They're still working on the idea of, do we really trust in him? They were walking around, and it says that they were coming up this road, and there is this king, Ephraim. He attacked the Israelites and captured some of them. Then Israel made this vow to the Lord, if you will deliver these people into our hands, we will totally destroy their cities. The Lord listened to Israel's plea and gave the Canaanites over to them. They completely destroyed them and their towns. So the place was named Hormam. I think that's how you say it. I don't know. You guys can look it up and read it. But very quickly after seeing God's hand move and give them victory, they're again back into their old ways. And the next section reads in verse 4. Do you have that there?
Verse 4 is, they traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way, and they spoke against God and against Moses, and they said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food.
Anybody ever been impatient with God before? You read these things and you go, man, come on, toughen up, boys and girls. You know, come on, what's going on here? And if you think about this, they're in the desert. I don't know, it's probably warm. You probably need a gallon of water for 2 million people each. So think about that. That's a lot of water. And so they're looking around for all of this water. There's a lot of walking going on. And they're in this place where they began to complain about God. At this point, you would think that Moses would stand up, he'd deliver a little pep talk, some kind of compelling sermon. It would be kind of an inspirational talk, like a Vince Lombardi, Martin Luther King Jr. type thing, and we'd be like, you know, oh, we have a dream here, you know, type of a thing. Yet, you get to verse 6, and it says, the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. And you're like, what? Is going on.
It's like the Oregon Trail out there.
It's like, well, like, okay, you complain and God sends venomous snakes. You love snakes, don't you?
No, that would be the worst possible way for me to go out.
Yeah.
I'd die before the snake even got to me.
Well, and you're like, God, they're just complaining about bread and water. What's kind of like, is this really, like, for me, I'm going, is this really necessary to, like, chuck the old venomous snakes at them? Every once in a while, like when you see a section like that in the scripture and you go, really? You have to kind of think through it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. This is a very interesting text, I think. We have a form of justice here in America. We have a form of justice even in our minds. Like if you go down to the local gas station and you walk in there with your handgun and you go, give me all your money and all your, what are you drinking? Wild cherry Pepsi. And you walk out of there and they catch you on camera and then they catch you later. And then you go to sentencing and they're like, well, it's Trav. We're going to give you a week in jail and 40 hours of community service. I don't think that works for justice, right? Like, people kind of frown on using a gun to rob people. You're going to go to jail for a long time for that one. On the flip side of that, now, if you're cruising down the road, state trooper pulls you over, you're going 62 and a 55, see the lights going on, and you're going, okay, well, he's going to give me a warning. And he says, sir, please step out of the car. And you're going to jail for 5 years. Like, it would be totally outside of this. And when we think about this, we go, these guys are just complaining about food and water. And now you're going to, you know,
Drop the hammer.
Yeah, drop the hammer. They're sending these snakes out there. Can you imagine, like, the snake bites your kid? His arm is going purple.
No, because I wouldn't even be in that area. I'd be gone. Like, I'd be like the fastest marathon ever.
Yeah. When things like that seem out of place, we need to ask, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. They've been in the desert now for how long?
39 years.
39 years they've been on this journey. Their clothes didn't wear out. They had food every day. They had water every day. And I think this is like, you know, remember back in grade school, if you got your name on the board, it was bad. If you got a check, it was really bad. If you got two checks, you got two detentions. And then three, you were expelled. That's how it worked in our school. This is like the third check, right? This is the third check. And it's really God going, will you guys get this? Will you trust me? They're going into battle, and they're going to have to battle people. And if they did not trust God, they were going to get destroyed. Remember, they're going to go into the promised land, and these dudes are, they're biggins.
Mm-hmm.
They're big. They're huge. They're strong. They have fortified cities. And what this was their basic training. Are you going to get this? Are you going to trust me? God was trying to make winners out of them, and he required them to answer a question. Will you trust me? And if the answer was no, well, I've got to do something to get your attention here. And so he gets their attention. He gets their attention in this thing. It's crazy in our minds that they're dying. There's people dying. There's, you know, these snakes are happening, and they're all over the place. And what's verse 7 say in there?
The people came to Moses and said, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people.
Uh-oh, God got their attention, right? We were wrong. We have sinned. God, have mercy on us. That's what they're saying. God, have mercy on us. Those words, we have sinned, I think are some of the most powerful words in that whole section.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing what's there. They're admitting that God is right and they were wrong. That's our story too, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have sinned. We have fallen short of the glory of God. God was right. We were wrong. We don't know how to live totally right. God does, you know, and that's what this is getting at. And I see ourselves in this story.
Mm-hmm.
A good definition of repentance is what they said. We were wrong and you were right. To agree with God that sin is sin. In our culture, it seems like everything is frowned upon but sin itself. God calls us into repentance, but he shows us mercy. He shows us love. Mm-hmm. He brings us into the family. He cleanses our sins with the blood of Jesus Christ, his one and only son. And it's just like this amazing story. And yet we sometimes miss this. And so what the Lord said to him in verse 8 is this, make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. Again, it's a trusting statement. Because mm-hmm. if you're putting a snake on a pole and I'm bitten, I'm like, ah, God, help me. I'm not looking at a pole. I'm looking at my arm that's throbbing or my leg that's throbbing. Or where are these snakes, the other ones? Where are they coming from? I'm looking toward that. But it was a statement of trust. Will you trust? This is crazy. Will you trust me?
Mm-hmm.
Will you trust me that if you look at this, you will have life? And that's really what the scripture does all the time. Will you trust? Will you believe in the one he has sent? That's your work.
Mm-hmm.
That is Jesus. Will you believe in him? Will you hold to him? In this whole story, it's like God is saying, I need people who trust me. I'm going to do something that is humanly irrational. Well, look at a pole and you'll be healed, right? The people will show they have faith in my power and what I say by doing what I say, right? I'm really glad that these verses are there because I think it gives us hope in believing in the one he has sent, the one who came 2,000 years ago. He lived in this world. He died on a cross. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. And the Bible tells us that we need to place our faith in him. We need to look at him. Jesus actually references this right before the great field goal verse. Do you know what verse that is?
The great field goal verse.
Yeah.
Hail Mary.
No, it's John 3:16, man. Like every time that, like in the NFL, like when someone's about to kick a field goal, you got the crazy guy with the purple, red, orange hair, and he's holding up John 3:16. Yeah, it's the field goal verse. Right before that, he talks about this. He's talking to a very religious guy by the name of Nicodemus. He's actually one of the top religious guys. And Nick says to Jesus, we know that God empowers you. We can see that stuff. And Jesus says, you need to have new life. You need to be born again. Which Nick admits he has no idea.
He's not thinking about what Jesus is talking
about. He's like, what are you talking about? Nick comes from a tradition that how you get close to God is to try harder, to be good. And Jesus says, no, you need to be born again. You need to have new life. Nick is super confused at this point. He doesn't even have the vocabulary maybe to understand what Jesus is saying. So Jesus decides to tell a story. And guess what story he talks about? The one we're talking about today. He says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. That's verse 14 and 15, right before the field goal verse, which is John 3:16. But it's that symbolism. It's a foreshadowing.
Yeah, it's a foreshadowing of Jesus on the cross. I mean, we look at that, and when I was looking up a Google picture of that, the actual pole that they had a crossbar on the top of it. So it looked very much like the cross that Jesus was hung on at his death.
Yeah, so Jesus, he's referring to himself when he talks about this idea that the Son of Man must be lifted up. He's telling his story of execution, that he's going to be the snake on the pole, the one that we need to look at to find healing, to find life, to find redemption. This thing that's going to cause us certain death, which that's what the Bible says, is that sin leads to destruction. It leads to death. It says the wages of sin is death. This thing that's going to bring us certain death, just like they were out in the desert, there wasn't some snake, whatever those
anti-venom
things.
Or whatever.
Anti-venom, yeah. There wasn't that out there. They didn't have that. They needed to look at the thing that God had given them to trust in it, and so do we.
And what I think is super interesting about God using the snakes and having the bronze snake on the pole that they had to look at to be healed, like, I hate snakes. I know a little bit about snakes. If you get bit by a snake, you do not die quickly. It's a slow, agonizing, painful thing. And you look at our sin. You look at living a life filled with sin. It's not usually a snap of the fingers and you're done. It's a slow, miserable, agonizing path towards destruction. That's why I think there's just such beauty in this passage of, like, the Israelites are walking through this, they're with God, but they're still making bad, stupid decisions, and they're knuckleheads, and God's like, no, you've been a knucklehead one too many times. I'm training you up for this awesome thing that you need to trust me on, and boom, they let him down again like we do. And then he gives them that snake to look at, and when they're bit, they look up on that snake and they're healed. The foreshadowing of Jesus, obviously, but the power of this passage of God actively coming through on his promise right then, right there, is just incredible to me. It's just such a beautiful picture.
Yeah, so when he's talking to Nicodemus, it's the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. He must be born again. And he says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. And then we get that field goal verse, the end zone verse, the touchdown verse. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That whoever believes, that whoever puts their faith in, whoever looks toward Jesus, the poison of sin will be taken away. Mm-hmm. They will have life in this life, and they will have life to come. They will have it now and forever. And that's that rebirth, this new creation that Jesus talked about to Nicodemus. Listeners, if you're kind of in that place where you're just like in the land of the middle, you're just discouraged and you're going, man, we're better off in Egypt. Look at the pole. Look at what Jesus did. He is faithful to his promises. And his promises is, if you will look toward Jesus, Jesus says, I have come that you may have life to the full. Mm-hmm. And you have life now and forever if we will look to the pole.
And it's that idea of, again, of like, you've got the venom in you. We've been bit. That's the original sin that we all are born with. And it's in the world and it's all around us. And you can get stuck in that land in the middle and you can wallow around. We can let the poison just continue to pump through our veins. Or we can look at the pole. We can turn our eyes towards Jesus. We can repent, turn from our sin, accept him, believe in him, have that eternal life. And we don't have to be afraid of death anymore.
Absolutely. The beauty of it is Jesus, he is the creator of the world. He is the triune God. And so if the creator says it, it's true.
I'm going about with
how,
that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's how this thing works. It's really trusting in how to live. And it's not about what we do. That's the beauty of Christianity. It's not about us doing something. It's about what has been done for us. Jesus was put on the pole. He was put on the cross for your sins and my sins. He bled out for you and me so that we may have redemption from our sin, that we may have life and have it to the full.
And if you guys liked what you heard today or want to follow up with any of our other podcasts, you can find Evangel Houghton Podcast on your Apple Podcast or Google Play, and you can hear us on your device. Or you can check out any of the latest Pearls and Swine episodes at our website, evangelup.org. And as always, if you guys have any questions or comments or you have a topic that you'd like us to cover, feel free to shoot that into us. We'd love to hear from you. That would be my email, Travis@evangelup.org.
Just one more reminder, look to the poll. See you next time.